Welcome to another discussion on science and the Bible, brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools. Today's topic will be climate change. And I will begin by reading some excerpts from a typical article filled with scare tactics. There are ominous signs that the Earth's weather patterns have begun to change dramatically, with serious political implications for just about every nation on Earth. A major climatic change would force economic and social adjustments on a worldwide scale. The longer the planners delay, the more difficult they will find it to cope with climate change once the results become grim reality. Hi, this is Jay Oxt of the Institute for Scientific and Biblical Research. The topic of climate change, it is a legitimate concern, but in the media, it is dominated by misinformation. So, allow me to complete that article that I just began a few moments ago. It concludes as follows. The central fact is, the Earth's climate seems to be cooling down. Yep, that was an article based on a 1974 study by NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which clearly showed that the Earth's temperature dropped a half a degree from 1945 to 1968, a half a degree over only 23 years. And to be honest, it's ironic that we are recording this session on global warming today. At our house, we have the wood stove cranked up. It's cold, it's rainy, and it's in the 40s today. What's the irony? It's May 4th. May, the fourth day of May, and it's that cold in the 40s. Well, in any event, today's discussion, I will give you a quiz, so to speak, of about 7 different points, all right? And they're mostly true-false points. Question number one. It's a statement. Is it true or is it false? As Christians, we are responsible for taking care of the earth. Is that true or false? Well, the answer is true, partially. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish your earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And taking dominion does not mean, you know, dominating and destroying. It means, you know, to care for it. In the medieval days, we had kings had their domains, right? And their castles were in, you know, walled communities. And if they were attacked, that dominion would be safe. All those people, if they went into that castle. Also, that's just one example. How about Luke chapter 12, verse 48? For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be what? You know the answer, much required. There's actually numerous passages in Scripture about our responsibility to be taking care of his provisions. That's only natural. It makes sense. He's the Creator. If we respect him, of course we want to take care of what he has provided for us. And how much have we been given? Everything that we have, right? So we should be good stewards. In the first half of the 20th century, our government policymakers were persuaded by environmentalists like John Muir and Theodore Roosevelt, who were devout Christians, to limit the destruction of natural resources while continuing to provide for economic development. All too many today of the so-called environmentalists, they're not calling for environmental policies to sustain economic development and to protect God's provisions. They're calling for us to destroy the economy. The reason is, if you have an the ideology that the Earth's been around for billions of years, then they want us to be able to sustain it for billions of years. Well, folks, that's not possible. Okay, the Earth hasn't been around for billions of years, and it's not designed to stay around for billions of years. Furthermore, let's go back and look at the Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 one more time. We're to have dominion over what? The fish of the seas, the fowl of the air, and every living thing. Notice what's conspicuously absent from this list. Do you see hurricanes in that list? Do you see earthquakes in that list? Do you see volcanoes or anything pertaining to the weather? No, of course not. We do not have dominion over those that type of event. And also, think about the worst natural disaster ever. What was that? What was the worst natural disaster ever? Why, that was Noah's flood. Did the earth heal from that disaster? Yes. The earth is designed to heal. So let's ask a very important question. Is it even possible for the temperature of the earth that God designed to be warming? Well, yes, but only temporarily. The earth is by design self-adjusting. The earth's temperature does go through cycles. It goes up for a while and down for a while, and we'll explain how it does that a little later. But before we do, let's look at one more passage about Romans chapter 1, excerpts from verse 22 and verse 25. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And what did they do? They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. You see, that's what we are seeing today in our media and politics, is the serving of the creature more than the Creator. Okay, question number two. True or false? Historical temperature data shows that the Earth's temperature has increased by 1 degree Celsius over the past 100 years. Let me read that again. Historical temperature data shows that the Earth's temperature has increased by 1 degree Celsius over the past 100 days. Well, let's think about that for a minute. If we have 5 people sitting in a room and I say, hey, what time do you have? How many different times do you think that I would hear in response? There may be off by a minute or so, but they're all going to be off by a second or so, you know, off from each other by a second or so. Same thing goes with thermometers. I have 2 laboratory-grade mercury thermometers sitting in a drawer in my kitchen, and they always read 1.5 or so degrees apart from each other. These are laboratory-grade thermometers. It is very, very difficult to actually know what an actual temperature is. Now, let's think about that a little bit further. This statement pertained to the past 100 years. Well, to establish global temperature trends over a 100-year period, we kind of need global temperature measurements, right? To get global temperatures, we need global temperature. To get an understanding of temperatures, we need to have temperature measurements all over the Earth. Well, are you aware? The international temperature measurements were not standardized until 1968, nowhere near 100 years ago, 1968. And by the way, those standards changed in 1990. So this question is false. There was data dating back to that point. That is true. But they did not have temperatures that were meaningful, not to within 1 degree. As I said, I have mercury thermometers. They've been calibrated in a special lab, and they read a degree and a half different from each other. Also, this 100 years, why 100? Why not 300? Well, the point was that the temperature has increased due to the Industrial Revolution. So you can see what the agenda in that statement. The statement again, historical temperature data shows that the Earth's temperature has increased by 1 degree Celsius over the past 100 years. That was the battle cry of the global warming alarmists for years. Just the question alone shows a significant agenda. Well, let's move on. Question number 3. Once again, true or false? Increasing the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will cause the Earth to get warmer. Is that true or is it false? Increasing the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere will cause the Earth to get warmer. Is that true or false? Well, true, kind of. Carbon dioxide does hold more heat than most other molecules in the atmosphere. But the water vapor in the atmosphere holds 100 times the amount of heat as does carbon dioxide. In other words, the carbon dioxide only holds 1% of the heat. Furthermore, if you think about it, the carbon dioxide is up in the atmosphere, right? So down here on the surface of the Earth, the carbon dioxide up in the atmosphere is going to tend to cool. Since it does hold more heat, it would be tending to actually cool the surface, not warm it up. It would be drawing the heat away. But at any rate, since the carbon dioxide only holds 1% of the heat, so what good would it do if we actually cut our emissions, carbon dioxide emissions, in half? Would that really make much of any difference at all? Also, keep in mind that carbon dioxide stimulates plant life. The more the plant life strives, the more oxygen is produced. Okay, so there's really no way to calculate the overall true effect of what the Earth would change based on these minimal carbon dioxide concentrations. And by the way, don't forget, all of the carbon from the fossil fuels was an integral part of the biosphere prior to Noah's flood. Where did our fossil fuels come from? You know, gas, oil, and coal, right? Well, all of that was part of the biosphere prior to Noah's flood. So let's move to question number 4. Ice core data shows that atmospheric carbon dioxide, ice core data shows that atmospheric carbon dioxide has increased over the past 100 years. The question here is that the ice core data shows that the atmospheric carbon dioxide has increased over the past 100 years. Well, actually, if you look at this ice core data, yes, that is what it shows. But keep in mind, the carbon dioxide is not a temperature measurement. That's a secondary effect. Furthermore, if we want to believe their timeline from that ice core data, you'll see in that statement, it's only discussing a very, very short period of that ice core data. If you looked at the ice core data from its start to finish, life died out because the carbon dioxide level dropped too low. Okay, the ice core data is over, by their terms, 80,000 years or something like that. And when you look at it, it has areas 4 different times where the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was so low that the plants would not be able to survive. So, according to their definition and their discussion of ice core data, life died 4 times just during, you know, man's existence, and it had to start all over again, and we evolved, you know, very, very quickly. So obviously that's a nonsense statement that the ice core data shows that the carbon dioxide has increased over the past 100 years. It's a very, very small part of that picture. Question number 5. Receding glaciers prove that the Earth is getting warmer. Is that true or is that false? You see an awful lot of pictures these days of, you know, of glacier-covered mountains and the same mountain with hardly any snow on it all. Well, you know, first of all, they don't tell you whether those pictures were taken during the winter or the summer, right? But actually, although they use this as a major way of promoting their argument, which is basically based on the fact that the glaciers do seem to be shrinking. I'll accept that. But Are we ready for this? The size of a glacier doesn't depend on the temperature. It does not depend on the temperature. It depends on weather patterns. Okay? Glaciers grow larger when the winter snowfall exceeds the summer melt. Glaciers grow larger when the winter snowfall exceeds the summer melt. Similarly, glaciers will shrink when the winter snowfall is less than the summer melt. Okay, so that being the case, colder temperatures can actually make glaciers shrink or recede. They advance and they recede. Colder temperatures can make them shrink because the atmosphere is not holding as much moisture and you wouldn't have as much winter snowfall. It's a little counterintuitive, but even the global warmists acknowledge this. They just don't tell you that. And it doesn't really matter. Today, virtually all data by the alarmists is interpreted as if it supports global warming, even if it contradicts common sense. Actually, for a huge example here, if you have been to Glacier Bay in Alaska, that's one of the largest glacier-formed bays in the world, maybe the largest. That glacier shrunk 20 miles in 19 years. Did you catch that? That glacier melted and receded 20 miles in 19 years. Wow. Well, that must be a horrendous amount of warming if that's truly the cause. Well, what the alarmists don't tell you is that glacier receding 20 miles, that occurred between 1860 and 1879, 19 years, well before the Industrial Revolution. So that receding and that melting had nothing to do with man's emissions, right? Okay, question number 6. Is sustained global warming even possible? So that's kind of getting back to what our original question and statement was. Is sustained global warming even possible? The answer to that question is no. The climate alarmists have glaring errors in their reports, including glaring math errors that should jump right off the page. And these alarmists, they copy these reports over and over and over, and they all sing the same tune that the Earth, you know, is out of control and it's warming. They use the term the energy budget, and they say that it's way, you know, out of equilibrium. Well, so our politicians, they don't understand the science of all of this. They have no way of knowing that these reports are this false, glaring errors. So what are we doing? Well, the politicians are rapidly passing laws to the tune of $500 billion a year, which is very destructive to our economy. Now, as you drive around, you might think, well, you know, wind and solar, we've made tremendous progress here. Because when you look at all these windmills and all these solar cells, are you aware that the combination of wind and solar energy produced for the United States with all of those mills and solar cells is less than 4% of our energy? Imagine the costs. Now, think about this. The sun delivers 9,000 times the amount of energy to the earth than what man produces. So would it really help if man cut our energy production in half? The sun delivers 9,000 times the amount of energy that we produce. How much energy that we produce, does it even matter? And also, as previously stated, the water vapor in the atmosphere retains 100 times the amount of energy as the carbon dioxide. Would it really help if man cut our carbon dioxide emissions in half? Let's think about this from a very fundamental perspective. Why is it that the Earth cannot undergo sustained warming? The bottom line is real simple. Think about the Earth. Think about the sun. If the energy coming in from the sun exceeds the amount of energy that is radiated back out into outer space, then the Earth's going to get warmer, right? If the energy coming in from the sun exceeds the amount of energy that is radiated back out into the cosmos, then the Earth's going to get warmer. On the other hand, if the energy radiating out into the cosmos exceeds the energy coming in from the sun, then the Earth's going to get cooler. And obviously, if the two are equal, then there's no change, right? Okay, imagine that Earth and it's surrounded by outer space, the cosmos, right? Well, there's this thing called the Stefan-Boltzmann law. And basically, the energy of our atmosphere, at the outer edges of our atmosphere, for each and every incremental global temperature increase, the energy radiated into the cosmos increases by that temperature increase raised to the fourth power. That might be a little hard to get your head wrapped around, so I'll give you an example. Let's just say about a 1 degree temperature increase on Earth. About 1 degree, that is, in terms of absolute temperatures, that is a 0.3% temperature rise. So let's take 0.3%. That would be an increase would be represented by the number 1.003. Okay, now take 1.003 and multiply it times itself four times. That's what we mean by raised to the fourth power. Take 1.003, multiply it times itself four times, and you come up with what? 1.2%. So in other words, if the temperature of the Earth increases by 0.3%, the energy that's radiated back out into the cosmos is 1.2%. So there's no way that the temperature of the Earth could ever possibly have a sustained temperature increase. Now we have what we call hysteresis. The temperature goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down, right? And we see that. That's what the science says. What does the Bible say? Well, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, and this is a covenant with Noah. This is right after the flood. Verse 22 says, while the earth remaineth, that's today, right? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, all of these things shall not cease. So that is God's promise to us. Well, question number 7, true or false? The earth is going to perish due to global warming. That's true, but not due to man-made global warming. It will be due to God's global warming. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What is totally astounding to me is how non-Christians can be so fearful of a degree or so of a possible man-made global warming and then totally disregard the thousands of degrees of fervent heat which are sure to come. So let's summarize spiritual significance here. Absolutely, we are accountable to God for our stewardship of his great gifts to us. We must never, ever forget that. But at the same time, as Christians, we must not fall prey to the global warming alarmists, the doomsayers. Why? As Christians, we must not allow Satan to distract us from our God-given duties. Satan cannot destroy our salvation, but he can make us ineffective by sending us off on wild bunny trails, if we let him. Well, we're about out of time, so let's pray. Father, it's so exciting to see how you have designed such a marvelous place for us to live. Father, thank you for your covenant that this earth will never cease until that final day known as the Day of the Lord. Please guide and direct us in our efforts to properly care for your creation. My prayer is that all who listen to these broadcasts will be blessed and will just learn to serve and honor you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, once again, this is a Bible series brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools. This is Jay Oxt of the Institute for Scientific and Biblical Research. If you'd like to know more about Wellspring Christian Family Schools, feel free to visit their website at wcfs.edu. If you would like to know more about ISBR, feel free to visit their website, isbrministries.org. And this has only been a 30-minute discussion. If you'd like to learn more about climate change, visit the ISBR Ministries website, and right in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage is a link to our climate change conference. It's a whole weekend conference on the subject of climate change. Now, the other thing is, on the topic of global warming, I wrote a book in 2008, it was published in 2008, called Global Warming and the Creator's Plan. Now, it was kind of rushed to press because the publisher wanted it to be the first book on global warming written from a Christian perspective, so it has a few typos and it's missing a lot of information. But for the most part, what is in the book is still good today. It's easy to read and understand. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. I look forward to our next discussion brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools.